Good evening. And it is a blessing to be preaching tonight, because I know from the past week and from tonight that this is the will of God that I preach on this verse this evening, Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20. I was very thankful that even though from the past week many preachers have quoted this verse and touched upon this verse, they didn't preach on it. And that was a blessing. And also, but the conference for me was a tremendous blessing. It was humbling to see the Spirit of God at work. And such an answer to prayer. And if you couldn't tell that the Spirit of God was at work to bring people to full surrender in the conference, then I have to say you probably weren't here. The Lord was doing a tremendous work. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be in church during the week and to worship our Lord. And that was a blessing. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Let's read these verses and then we'll pray. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love Thee. We thank You, dear God, for Your love towards us. We thank You for our precious Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, and how He becomes, Lord, through Your Word and through Your Spirit, even more precious each day. We thank You, dear Lord, for Your working among us, Lord, drawing Your people closer towards You along the path of Your will for their life, so that You may be glorified, Lord, so that souls may be saved. And Lord, we do pray, Heavenly Father, in these precious truths, dear Lord, that we'll look at tonight, we pray Your Holy Spirit would work once again. We ask for His leading through Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd hide me behind Your cross. Lord, that Your people would hear from Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've been saved for very long and you've started to share your faith with others, I'm sure you would have noticed by now that the main obstacle we come up against when we're sharing the truth of how someone can get to heaven and know for 100% sure, the main obstacle we come up against is this idea that somehow a person thinks that they can work their way to heaven. That somehow man has it within himself for his own sinful pride, believing that by his own works, he can get to heaven. And of course, we passionately preach that it's by faith alone. And part of that passion is because I would dare say that all of us believed at one point in our life before we were saved that we could get to heaven by our own good works. And this idea of working to get to God, working in our own strength to be justified, was a problem also in the Apostle Paul's day. In his day, he faced the lies and the conspiracy of religion. He faced religious Jews that didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He faced religious Gentiles who worshipped dead idols and believed they could work their way by their religion to get to heaven. And the book of Galatians is a wonderful book in the Bible. A wonderful, sweet and short book in the Bible that very clearly spells out that no one can do anything in their own strength, in their own works to get to heaven. We are justified by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this book because there were Jewish false teachers that were getting into the churches in Galatia and convincing the Gentiles that not only did they have to believe in Christ, but they had to keep the Jewish law in order to be saved. We read in Acts chapter 15 that And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, wrote the book of Galatians. And I know that many of you love to share truths from this book as we go door knocking, as we witness. That. Let's have a look in verse 16, one of, I'm sure, your favourite verses. Chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And we share verses such as these, and so we should, but the thought I have this evening is that what if we were to turn around the situation for a moment? And that person at the door hearing us preaching the gospel, telling them that we're justified by faith, I wonder what would happen if they asked us, how are you living that faith out? Because obviously we're not trying to earn our way to get to heaven. We're not living by works in order to be justified before God. I wonder if they would turn around and ask the question and have an insight into our lives. Well, you're saved by faith. How are you living that faith out? How are you living unto God, as the Apostle Paul said? You see, it's a humbling thought. We can preach the gospel, but people are watching our lives. People are watching how we live. How we live this gospel that we're preaching to them, our loved ones, our family and friends. We can invite them to Christmas carols, but what are we preaching to them by our lives? Do they see the supernatural working of God taking place in our lives as we walk by faith, or do they see dead works of religion? Us trying to do our own, please God, and to do God's work in our own strength, in our own self-efforts. Is that what they see? You know, many religious people go to church more often than we do. Catholics can be in church every day for Mass. And what do they see in our lives? Do they see a difference? There ought to be a difference. And here in these verses, the Apostle Paul gives us four main truths on how we are to live unto God. Four main truths. And let me say before we get into it, that without knowing these truths and living them out each day, it will be impossible to live a life, to live the life that God wants us to live for Him. And for God to use us in any great way for His glory. And I'd like us to look at these truths this evening. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, first of all, I am crucified with Christ. Herein we find our purpose for living for God. Our purpose for living for God. If you've read this verse before, as I know many of you have, I am crucified with Christ, probably like me, you would have said, wow, what an amazing statement. What amazing testimony of the Apostle Paul, who was willing to surrender everything for the Lord. And yes, that is true. That is true. But this statement is much more profound than that. Paul's surrender came from understanding what this verse meant, not only to him, but to other believers. Have a look with me in verse 19. We read it a moment ago. The Apostle Paul says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You see, the context here is being justified by the law. And it's within that context, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. The Bible tells us that it was God's law that demanded all mankind to die because we've all broken His laws. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. There is none good. No, not one. But the good news and the wonderful, unspeakable truth and good news of the gospel is that God sent a Savior, a Redeemer that we sang about this evening, to bring us back to God. And on that cross, He took upon Himself the full penalty of our sins and the full weight of God's law upon Himself. And He paid for our sins once and for all. And that's the good news of the gospel. And I hope that you've trusted in Christ. I hope that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible tells us if you repent, if in in faith, you turn from your sins once and for all. And you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing what he did on the cross for your sins. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In that moment of faith, where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven for your past, your present, your future sins, once and for all, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has achieved on the cross for us. The Apostle Paul had trusted the Lord. And it was because he had received Christ, in verse 19, that is why his faith in Christ made him dead to all the demands of the law. So he could say, I am crucified with Christ. You see, Paul here was describing more than just his surrender. He was describing the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was describing. And Pastor Weston touched on this on Tuesday night. In fact, he preached on this on Tuesday night. And it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. You know, the book of Galatians is described as a mini book of Romans. Because it deals with the same truths in short. But I want us to go to the book of Romans just for a moment. Book of Romans, chapter 6. Let's have a look at verses 3 and 4. Book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Bible tells us when we were saved, we were baptized into, that is to be immersed, not the water baptism that the Bible speaks about in other places, but we were immersed by the Holy Spirit into the Lord Jesus Christ and into what he did in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. That means when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose from the dead, we were raised to walk in newness of life. And as I began to study this truth, and I was praying for God to help me with it, because it's such a profound truth, and when Pastor Weston preached on it on Tuesday night, I was humbled by the fact that we can't possibly grasp exactly how that took place. How Christ died in the past for our sins before we existed. But yet it's true. And in fact, it's such an important truth that we need to know it in order to live any kind of a Christian life. It's such an important truth to know because our victory over sin is key to this. Understanding that the chains of sin and the power over sin over our lives, as Pastor has been preaching over the past month, were broken on the cross. And in Christ, we are free from sin. We are free from the power of sin. No longer are we under its power. Look in verse 11 with me. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, our purpose in life comes from understanding this truth. I am crucified with Christ. And even just getting a measure of an understanding of what that means, it's very plain to see that surrendering our lives completely to the Lord in every which way would not be a difficult thing if we understand this truth. For he is ours and we are his completely in every which way. And in fact, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is more precious and more close than we often care to know. The Bible tells us that we have been crucified with the Lord. We are crucified with Christ. But also notice the Apostle Paul is not only saying that this took place at his salvation, he's saying that I am crucified with Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul is applying this truth to his daily life, how he lives as a Christian. He chose to believe, to know this truth, and to live it out each day, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's alone. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a truth that every single born-again believer must live out in their daily lives. And as we think of what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, we see him pleading with God's people to apply the truths that he's mentioned in the previous chapters. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why was the Apostle Paul pleading? He wasn't saying it would be a good thing to surrender your life to the Lord. He's not saying that would be a good thing that would please God. He was pleading with God's people to realize you are already the Lord's. What are you doing living for yourself? And the Apostle Paul was saying the only reasonable way to live is to live as a living sacrifice unto God, because you have been crucified with Christ. And my friends, we need to live out this truth each day of our lives. We need to understand that our union with the Lord drives our purpose to live for Him. That's where we find our purpose as Christians. Pastor asked the question, and I'll ask it again tonight, what is your purpose in life? You might say, brother, I love to be in church, I'm glad I'm saved, I want to serve the Lord. But you see, what God is talking about here is nothing but full surrender. He's talking about the Lord is calling for an absolute heart to do whatever He wants to do in your life. You see? And that's the heart the Apostle Paul had. But it came from an understanding of this truth. It came from an understanding that He is crucified with Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that I die daily. He applied this truth to his life each day. But the question is, are we willing to? Are we willing to die daily to self? In fact, are we willing to see ourselves as God commands us to in His Word, as completely and utterly the Lord Jesus Christ? Because for what He did on the cross. Are we willing to do that? If we are, then serving Him, surrendering to Him, going wherever He wants us to go, will be no issue at all. You know, Pastor Weston mentioned the Moravians, who were two young men. What a touching testimony. And how they sold themselves into slavery and gave their lives away, if you will, to reach a people in slavery across the other side of the world. And yet when we consider what God has said in the Scriptures this evening, we can see how they did that. They realized that they weren't slaves to the slave owners. They had been bought with a price, with the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. And they were His and His alone and His utterly. And so going and selling themselves into slavery and doing what God wanted them to do, they were free. Amen. Free to live unto God. Are you willing to believe and know this truth and apply it in your life? We have a purpose, and it's to live for Christ alone. Anything less would simply mean that we're not living as God would have us to live. I know I've been there, and perhaps you've been there as well, that as we read what our lives ought to be like in regards to what God says and the world we live in and what we see around us, it's easy to say, Lord, this Christian life, and in fact the depth of what you're saying in your word seems to be too much. How can I live that? How can I really do that? And we see others and the testimonies of those in the past, what they've done for the Lord, and we say, Lord, how can I possibly do that? And the encouragement we receive is found in the next part of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We see our purpose is clearly and simply to serve the Lord with all that we have. The Apostle Paul continues this truth in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it's within this statement we find our power for living unto God. Our power for living unto God. You see, Paul was saying, yet not I, don't get me wrong. It's not me working in my own strength and flesh to do what God wants me to do, to live a life crucified with Christ. He's saying that, don't get me wrong, it's not me. It's not my own efforts living this supernatural life that we read of in the Bible and that we so often think we cannot live. The Apostle Paul said, Christ liveth in me. And if you're saved this evening, then Christ liveth in you. And what a joy it is to know that God lives within us. And it's because of that truth we can do what he wants us to do. You see, the Judaizers, those teaching, those lies in the book of in the Galatian churches were saying, you know, you need to keep God's law. You need to work in your own efforts to keep the rules to be right with God. And in the same way, many of us do the same. We live the Christian life out in our own willpower, in our own strength. And here the Apostle Paul turns around and says, no, that's completely wrong. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And each born-again Christian has been given the presence and the power of God to live out God's will for their lives, whatever that may be. We can now live unto God in the power of God when we're saved. The Lord said, did he not, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. The Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he ended, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What a joy to know is that Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me, and we cannot do anything in our own strength. And we are all fools. We are all but flesh. But Christ liveth in me. And he will do his perfect work in our lives. Being confident of this very thing, the book of Philippians tells us, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He, the Lord, that hath begun a good work in you. He will perform it. He will do it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is the second truth we need to apply to our lives every day. Christ liveth in me. If we were to just wake up every day knowing that in the power of God we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what a difference that would make. What a difference that would make to those looking at our lives around us. In our preaching, in our living, in our witnessing, in our love, in our humility. The power of God within us. And my point is, we don't have any excuses. We have no excuses. That's the other truth in this point. We don't have any excuses to say, I can't do that. There's no way me. They could, but, you know, I'm different. Well, you see, we're all one in Christ. We're all unified with the Lord. We all have the Holy Spirit within us. And therefore, we are without excuse in serving the Lord to the uttermost. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you believe that truth? Do you believe that truth? If so, it has to be lived out. And it has to be lived out, thirdly, in the pathway that God has provided. Our pathway for living unto God, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we have his power, but it must be lived out along his pathway of life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we see that in the next part of the verse. Let's look at it together. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, God's power is within us, but it's not automatically working through us. The Holy Spirit isn't automatically working through us. We need to respond to the Lord. You see, the Apostle Paul made it very clear in this context that it's not by the works of the law or anything we do that allows God's power to work through us, but by faith, he says in this portion of the verse, by faith in the Son of God. That is our pathway to walk, the path of faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. And a life of faith is the pathway we all must walk if we're going to truly live unto God. That's the pathway we all must walk if we're going to see God's power working through our lives. Do you want to see God supernaturally work through your life beyond all that you can imagine at the moment? Well, we need to walk by faith. You see, it's faith first and then the power of God. I'm mindful of one of the heroes of our faith. And don't be distracted, even though the banners have been taken down, we still need to walk by faith. Moses, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of for a season. We see his faith, do we not? We see what he would refuse by faith. And yet 40 years later, Moses heard God's call. And Moses said, by faith, ultimately, I'll go. And he did, by faith. And then what do we see? Then we see the power of God upon his life. Amen. Then we see the power of God upon the man of God. And it's always been that way throughout the scriptures. First it's faith, and then there's power. Amen. And again, there's faith, and then there's power. And the problem with us, we get it the other way around. We think, God, show me something first, and then I'll step out by faith. But God doesn't work that way. That's not the pathway of life for the Christian, to live unto God. It's faith first. Faith in the Son of God, and then the power that God has given us, Christ liveth in me, will flow according to his will. And the life which I now live in the flesh, Paul wasn't denying the fact that we live in the world. We live in the world, and all that we see around us is contrary to the word of God. All that we see around us is tempting us, and the devil wants to cause us to completely miss the will of God for our lives. And yet Paul reminds us that the solution to that is faith. The solution to that is looking to that which is unseen. Not what we can see, not what we feel, but the promises of the word of God. And walking by faith according to what God has already said. We know in Hebrews chapter 11 also, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Isn't that correct? The problem is with that, we redefine faith in our lives. We say, okay, I'm pleasing the Lord, but we change what faith means. The rest of that verse says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. This is the part we have a problem with. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Brethren, do you really believe? If you, holding nothing back, seek after the Lord with all of your heart, and I'll say it again, holding nothing back, no limits, seek after the Lord with all your heart, that he will reward you. And that your life will be so much better for it and pleasing unto the Lord. I know my own flesh. It says no. If you give your life up for God, you'll miss out on everything you enjoy. And that's the devil's greatest lie. That's the devil's greatest lie. And that's how God defines faith. Willing to give it all up. Willing to give everything to the Lord. Whether that means Bible college full time. Bible college is just a step forward into the ministry. There's much more to that afterwards. And you see, God is saying, all right, without faith, it is impossible to please me. But define it how I define it, God says. We need to diligently seek after him without any holding back. And it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice by faith as we read his word to believe what he says and to obey. It's a daily choice to pray in faith. It's a daily choice to witness in faith. So often we live by sight. And therefore, as we've read in the verse previously, our power is unseen and our gospel is hid. Our gospel is hid. The pathway we need to walk is by faith. And lastly, we see our passion for living unto God. Our passion for living unto God. The apostle concludes this verse by saying, I live by the faith of the Son of God, notice, who loved me and gave himself for me. Herein lies our passion. Notice the Apostle Paul and his love for the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, but God commendeth his love toward us. Here the Apostle Paul, speaking about living unto the Lord, says, for me. Christ died for me. Christ gave himself for me. You see, it all comes back to the cross. It all comes back to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for each one of us personally. And that needs to be first and foremost if we're going to live unto Him. If you've lost your desire to live for God, or if you just seem unmoved by the preaching of God's Word this week, then you need a fresh glimpse of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross. You need a fresh glimpse of all that He did in His amazing love to save wretched sinners like you and I. That's where we find our passion to live for God, in our love for the Lord. And it was wonderful what Pastor West said on Sunday. You know, we'll only trust the Lord by faith in as much as we love Him. Love comes first, and then faith. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there for a moment as we wrap these thoughts up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Our love for the Lord is what will move us forward by faith in this life to live for Him because of what He did for us. And I believe if we just simply memorize Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, then we can live unto God. If we simply know these truths and apply them daily to our lives, that our purpose in life is seen in the truth that I am crucified with Christ. How can we then live for ourselves if that be true? Our purpose is to live for Him alone. If we believe that truth, if we agree with God, if we say, yes, Lord, here am I. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's our power to do what God wants us to do. His relationship with us. The power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. That can do far beyond our own ability, according to His will. And then we see that our pathway of life, the path that we must walk, is by faith. By faith, not by sight. And then the Lord can work through us in His power. And our passion is found in His passion, His love for us. And therefore we love Him in return. My friend, is it your desire this evening to live unto God fully and completely? That has been the Holy Spirit's leading throughout this week. Complete surrender. Complete surrender. And I just was led of the Lord to touch on a few truths that have been a blessing to me. But what a tragedy it would be if we are known as ones that preach salvation by faith, but we do not live by faith. And therefore, those who we witness to do not see the power of God in our lives. Perhaps for you this evening, you need to come back to the Lord. You need to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being merciful to me as I've drifted, as I've wandered and gone in my own way, as I've doubted what you could possibly do in my life for your glory. Perhaps you need to just continue by faith as we've preached this year, as God has preached to you this year and to me, this theme of the just shall live by faith and trusting God each step of the way to continue on that path that He set you on and to remember that faith comes first and then His power. That is what it means to live unto God.